what are some of the key recommendations that will be adapted in your view, Mark?
Some of the key recommendations, I think the inquiry's done a really good job. They've had community meetings and many submissions, and they've incorporated all that into these 76 recommendations. Some of them are, I guess, for future investigations, such as more research into fires and firefighting, and also improved safety for the firefighters, which is obviously really important. Some of the other interesting recommendations are ones like technology, where they've looked at things like, or mentioned things like unmanned aircraft and vehicles, and some of the ones you've talked about, which is improved backburning, looking at some of the aerial fighting techniques and assets that the fire brigade has, as well as, really importantly, the improved communications, both with the community and also between the agencies as well, making sure that they communicate really well in the event of these fires and making sure that the response is correct, you know, and goes to the places that it needs to as much as possible.
In terms of wildlife, obviously we saw, you know, huge areas devastated in terms of bushland during these fires, and we got these terrible reports about the number of animals that have been killed, and indeed have continued to hear about the sort of situation that's created since. Do any of these recommendations look at protecting our disappearing wildlife in some of these areas?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. And this is some of the balance, I guess, that we as a community need to look at in terms of some of the initiatives, or the recommendations require certain things, like you talked about prescribed burning, the individual responsibility for property owners to maintain their property, clear undergrowth and keep the fuel load quite low. In terms of doing that, obviously that involves clearing some vegetation. And the other aspect, I guess, that we'd like to talk about, or the university has written about, is in relation to further encroaching into some of these bush areas. So as we continue to build and develop into these high-risk bushfire-prone areas, into the future to improve the safety for the occupants and also for the firefighters, it's likely that increased clearing will be required. And obviously, coupled between the fires that we've had and the increased clearing that will be required, this combined impact on wildlife is potentially quite significant. And the ongoing land clearing, removal of vegetation, impact from bushfires, it has caused a significant impact on wildlife. And the combination of those two aspects is something that we really need to talk about, because the ongoing clearing, the ongoing loss of wildlife, is a significant issue. So what we've talked about is potentially trying to separate the buildings, people, from these high or dense vegetation areas that contain some really important wildlife, and try and move back away from some of those areas to reduce that long-term impact and hopefully give them the opportunity to recover as well.
I suppose the obvious question in that sort of situation, especially if we are putting this down to personal responsibility in some cases, why continue to build homes in these high-risk areas?
And that's one of the key questions, I think. So the inquiry looked at the preparedness and response for the organisations. It didn't look at bushfire recovery, so which is, I guess, the next step in where to from here. And one of those questions, as you're talking about, is should we continue to build into these areas? So it's a really difficult question, because it's obviously a lifestyle choice for many people to want to live in these areas. But what that then does is exposes themselves and the buildings and firefighters to the risk of fighting these fires. So I think it's a very much a community question that we all need to talk about and answer. And for me personally, in some of these high-risk areas, it's probably best to not build in those areas and retreat from the more riskier bushfire-prone areas. Again, that is a lifestyle choice for many people. However, in the long term, the benefits, I think, outweigh the loss of that lifestyle choice, where we improve the management of the land, we allow the wildlife to recover, we retreat from those high-risk areas, which reduces the risk to the firefighters, and the people as well. There are some options around different improved building standards in these bushfire-prone areas, which are also really important. However, I think as a general discussion and in terms of future direction in where we build, I think these high-risk areas are just too much risk for us as a community to continue to take on. And that's where we need to look towards the developers and the planning authorities in terms of where they're allowing these houses to build, and maybe changing some of the planning policies to retreat from some of these areas.
Well, it certainly does seem reasonable on the face of it, you would think. Mark, thanks very much. Do appreciate you giving us a bit of insight into this one this morning.
No problem, Sean. Thanks for your time.